Welcome. We are moving unbelievably quickly these days, and it's very destabilizing in a lot of ways and motivating for getting us centered within and discovering who we are in a totally different context. And what's available to us this week wasn't even available to us last week. So, why don't we start with a few check-ins? Does anyone want to share anything interesting that has happened for you this past week?
All right, it's Russell. Can you hear me, Sarah?
Yes,
Okay. Well, I just posted right before class, so I don't know if anyone saw it, but I since last Monday's class, so starting last Tuesday on, my morning goes pretty smoothly and normally, and then after I eat lunch, I am exhausted. I'm like so fatigued that I either lay down in a nap state, or I sit to meditate and I fall into like a really deep liminal state. And today was no different.
It has been challenging, I have to say that. Has anyone else been experiencing the fatigue?
Yeah, Sarah, this is Cindy. I also have been unusually tired in the afternoon, like you described.
Okay, Tracy.
Yeah, I've also been experiencing that, but I also noticed something kind of magical today. It's like I could feel that these new energies are here, and it's like they're so beautiful. And then there's still, well, yesterday was really that part of me that's like, I don't know if I can expand into this. And then today I had, like anxiety in the morning, but then as the afternoon, I'm getting this sense of like this newfound, it's okay, it's safe. Like, it's just like kind of coming through my being of this more felt sense of just safety and being held. So that's kind of really nice.
Okay, good. Okay. Let's see who else.
Tim, nope.
Yep, go ahead.
Oh, as you know, I've been feeling fatigue in the afternoons, a great deal of fatigue. And I enjoy it a lot because it does take me to a different place that I think is beneficial when I'm fatigued and I go zone out or nap. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Who else?
This is Laurie. I feel like I have had a more sustained capacity to I don't know how, I don't even know how to name it. Stay connected to my higher being, grounded. Things that I feel like I have been working on with effort for years are all of the sudden not taking so much effort. And, I'm just being with it each moment without attachment. But it's been pretty amazing. So
Okay.
I feel grateful, for what we're doing.
Great. So fatigue is something that is a common side effect of energy shifts. Ananda, what were you going to say?
Well, I've just noticed a real difference in my the quality of my grounding. It used to be I'm focusing on the bottom of my feet and my seat, And when I'm well grounded, I would feel that my feet were somewhat sunk into the earth, really planted. And I've been feeling sort of from the waist down, like I'm resting in the earth. It's just a very, for me, a very, very different type of perception of being grounded.
Good. I'm glad that you're getting to experience that. Okay. Anyone else? Russell and Cindy, you're both about to start the facilitator training this weekend, and that is a very powerful energy that you're tuned into as well. So, as I'm sitting here contemplating this, I'm looking at that, and Ken is too. I'm looking at that as a major factor here, that to enter into that training, you're having to make some big shifts. And it's contributing to that sense of wanting to sleep or fatigue. So that's part of it. But we can go through periods like this, and there's not much you can do. I mean, you don't add caffeine or force yourself, but see if you can allow some room for it. Anyone else?
Sarah, it's Lisa. I too have had some fatigue, and I do love it. I do love how I just sink without even thought. It's like everything in my body lets go. There's such a safety, and it's deep, and something happens when I'm gone, and then I get up. And it's beautiful. And just also, I resonated with many things this week, but Mark in particular had a recent post. And I do feel as if there, and someone else mentioned tonight's safety. I think through this series of classes, there has been birth, and it's really happened in last week's class for myself. I can't stay in a state of awareness at all while I'm listening to last week's class. And I feel like I'm letting go more than I have ever attempted to let go before. It's been very beautiful. A lot is breaking down around me. A lot is coming out as well. And in general, I also, don't feel that separation when I'm out of meditation versus in meditation. I feel with the pace of life, I've had to learn how to move in my life, which is so in process, but move in my life and be in a state of gratitude and awe and sacredness and in the simple things that have to happen or in the commitments that I have made or had to make, or their family related. Up to this point, I've tried to stay very low key, and I'm feeling I'm being pushed out there just a little bit more. But I feel less division between being out there and sitting and grounding. I used to always feel like I'd fall back, or I'd fall away, and I just mess it up. And I don't have that perspective any longer. And those are beautiful shifts. And I really believe it's a result of many years with you, but definitely this series of classes, this particular series, I think is just very potent. So it's very grateful for that and everyone's amazing ability to voice their experiences.
I know the group is
Oh, incredible.
being amazing. Yes, yes. We're still on the spirit. We had a tiny bit of a break, but that intensity is starting to build up again.
I never actually felt like I had a break. I just put
Maybe for a
myself.
day.
It was really maybe, ooh, this is a little nice. And then, something moved in. Right. Well, thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, yes, and our next class starts next Monday, if you read the email I sent out tonight. These classes are just time to support us during this really intense period of shift. It's so dramatic. And so intense. And we are being invited to let go of so much that, on one level, it is very exhausting. And any attempt to maintain who we thought we were is going to be exhausting. And I know that seems, a little bit vague, but you can feel within you a sense of something emerging and something hanging on. And you can't control that with your mind. And we try to. And of course, we try to. That would be totally natural to try to do that. But this is, it's like a sanding process, a polishing process. And we're being sanded and polished by a greater intelligence. And it's something, it's always a phase that is more uncomfortable to go through, but it is a known phase on the spiritual path. And the conflict that arises is how do I maintain my everyday life, especially if I'm working or help keeping a family together and all the regular things that we have to do, and how do I allow for this space, for this internal kind of pressure that you can't name, for it to happen. But this is part of the spiritual path. And so the extreme degree to which our culture has strayed from the living energies creates this dynamic where we need to be purified, we need to be cleared, we need to be polished in order for our truer being to emerge. And this is really tricky on the spiritual path. It's not like you can talk about it or say to your boss or your colleagues, I can't function this week due to the spiritual evolution I'm going through. And so it requires an enormous amount of bandwidth to live through this. So that's in a normal cycle of spiritual growth. This is like a zillion times more intense. And so the old and the new are rubbing against each other even more intensely. And so it's a challenging time. It really is. And it's like inch by inch, seeing what you can do and how you can finesse this in your life. Ask for help, ask for how to move through this if it somehow comes up against things that you have to do in life. Or if you do have the space to take a nap. I'm always in favor of sleep if you can do that. It really does help because you let go more and that polishing can go on when you're asleep. Eventually, you have to learn how to do it while you're awake, but sometimes that's the best option. So I hope that's helpful to understand it in that light. Anyone else like to contribute something more to this?
Sarah, can you hear me? It's Kim.
Kim?
Yeah. Just to comment on what others have also mentioned about napping and sleeping or feeling sleepy. I'm experiencing the same thing, especially in the afternoon. And I'm also finding that walking, even if it's just for like 30 minutes or something, seems to be helping with if I feel like I'm stuck either in meditation or I'm feeling sleepy, if I go out for some kind of walk, it seems like it helps me to either fall asleep and have a great nap, or I'll come back and meditate and things are flowing. So that's been helpful. And I am too someone who has pretty much any time we've gone on retreat or, had something bigger going on. Naps have always been a part of my path. And I'm really thankful that my dad taught me how to have naps. It was okay in my family. So, yeah, that's
Okay,
it.
good. Thank you. Okay, anyone else noticing something else going on with them?
And Sarah, the identity part has really been profound for me in the last couple of weeks, and it's different from what I would consider, my spiritual growth in the past. Like I really, there's things that right now that I thought were part of core who I am, and they're just falling away, and it's a little confusing and disorienting. And then but just being able to kind of observe it and accept it has been very new for me. But it's something that I just thought was a core of who I am, and it's like it's just not even there anymore.
We are changing that much.
It's astonishing to me.
It is. And that's the old you has been, that is all the conditioning and all the old paradigm structure. And it shows you how you've been configured. And it's like installing a whole new program that's going to change the whole operating system.
Yeah, I'm feeling that. It's pretty profound.
It's really profound.
Yeah.
And so with all these outer planets moving and changing signs and all the comets and all the frequency changes going on, not to mention the whole political scene of the planet and all the Earth movement, it's just really intense. And we can sometimes it's just easier to go out and take a break from it. And then come back, when you're ready again, and you can go another round. But this is, I mean, I think we should be able to talk about this in this type of class, because very often this is not a conversation that's usually had in a spiritual group, for its width and breadth and depth that we're experiencing this. So it's important to be able to talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. And then the other thing that is like I know pretty much every call you always say, oh, we're moving along, time is zooming. But it's like for me, the acceleration is insane. Like it's like time is moving so fast, and it just sort of validates that it's a human kind of construct, because it really almost makes no sense to me anymore. But like days and hours and minutes even are flying by in a way that I've never experienced before either.
Absolutely. And so it was interesting because I was talking to a cousin that I'm very close with who's not spiritual at all. She is accepting of who I am, but has no clue, no reference point, nothing. And I said to her recently, like in the last week, I said, "Do you have feel like there's weird stuff going on with time?" And she said, "Oh my God, yes. It's so crazy what's happening with time and how nothing, my reference point for time is way off." And so when I can, fly something by her and hear that from her, then it's kind of a validation from an outside person that this is happening. But
It's just mind-blowing to me. I just can't believe it. How
it
fast,
is. Yeah. No, it's intense. Yeah. Michelle, what do you have here?
So the I'm finding myself so I'm still working and needing to interface with that particular experience. I find very I understand that sanding and grinding, but it's just intolerant. I just can't tolerate it. It feels, it's just such a dissonant experience. And, like every, people have mentioned the fatigue and the, the need for rest. And I just find myself less effective at what I'm engaging with and, asked to do. So.
If I could be a little more personal with you, because
Sure.
in your case, you have a job that you don't like to begin with, and are doing it just for the to survive, And so, when a truer part of you wants to emerge, and you're in this place where it's like so discordant with your true being, it really gets uncomfortable. And this is when people very often will change jobs or change relationships or do something drastic. And it's because they recognize that, this just isn't me anymore, right? And I just can't do it anymore. And so just in your case, you're in one of those situations where to begin with, it wasn't even a match for who you are. And you're having to complete this cycle of work. So it makes it even more difficult. So you'll have to see what comes through to you as you move through this day by day. And it's a dance between external safety and internal safety. And that's okay to go to that's one way you can keep dancing, Michelle. She's a dancer, a different kind of dancing. But it's a tough thing. But I always say that I've experienced many times in my life where I feel like I'm just holding on by the tiniest grasp of my fingertips to the edge of a to you know an edge of a cliff, and that kind of at the very last second before I'm just going to plunge to my death, something happens and I shift. So being taken to the very edge of what we can tolerate is very often what generates the next opening. And so just holding on to the very last second is a skill in a way. And nothing wrong with it. It's just part, it could be part of our cycle, of how we do this. So there have been many times in my life when I have been in that place. So hang in there, you know, even though it's not comfortable. It's like you said, it's intolerable. Mm-hmm. And see what happens in how that intolerability creates an opening for you.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else?
This is Laurie again. Mm-hmm. What you just described is kind of what I feel like happened a little bit for me that led to, you know, how it's been the last week or so, and that shift that happened. And listening also to the conversation, the part of the conversation about the identity, I think that some of what I have experienced is a lessening of the fear of letting go of my old identity, and the resistance and the fear of the unknown. And somehow it feels like the acceptance, like it's been so cool to hear people talk about the level of fatigue being nice in some way. You know, that's not usually what I'm thinking when I experience that. And but that further acceptance for me of all of it, all of what happens, without such an intense attachment to it being different than it is, I think has been a lot of what has supported movement for me somehow. You know? Mm-hmm. And it's like one foot in front of the other. I was hanging and something happened, you know? But like looking at it now and how I'm feeling, I mean, there is such a sense of, wow, how is this going to look? But it's not as scary. Like, I feel like it's just been the thought of letting go of certain aspects of my identity and who I've been in the world and even in my family, and has just been terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it's just not so much right this minute. So I'm just going to sit with some of these feelings because it's such a difference. And we'll see where it goes next.
But mm-hmm. Thank you. That was very nice shared energy. I want to point something out here, which is what I love about this circle. You're not hearing even subtly, let alone overtly, anyone say, well, just do it, you know, just figure it out, just make it work. You know, all the justs and all the ways that we have that pressure from other people to just fix it, you know, just do it. And there's none of that in this circle. I want you to feel that. Because that old voice, which Laurie, you were kind, you know, obliquely referring to, would be condemning and say, why don't you just do it? Why don't you just wake up? Why don't you just, you know, do what you need to do? That voice is not anywhere near this circle. And what a special environment that is. And And now you can maybe separate out that voice if it's still whispering to you or pressing on you, and feel into the environment of the circle and allow yourself to feel safe and okay within this sphere of being. So no one's telling you to just get up and go, you know, just go do it, which is very much part of our conditioning. There we go. A lot of you are letting go now. We have a big lightning and thunderstorm going on here. I also think something happened this week with the moon, the journey that the astronauts took to the moon and back. It opened up. Let me find the right words for this, because I experienced it as a very strange dimensional break. And it not just on the sociological, psychological level, but on a consciousness level. And there's something off about it. And I think it allowed in some very awkward, dissonant frequencies into the Earth realm. And celestial interactions physically can do that. Like that telescope that's way out into the universe is actually bringing in some beautiful frequencies. But there's something about this moon project that opened something up that was more discordant. And I say that in relationship to when I was in 1969, I spent the summer studying in France. And I was there when the Apollo astronauts landed on the moon. And I was watching that in the early evening in Paris, through the window of a TV, an appliance store. And if you're old enough, you might remember that they used to put all like the washing machines and the TVs in the front window, and they would leave the TV on so that people walking by would stop and look at the TV. And I was the only American. There were a group of people watching the moon landing right at that time, and I was the only American there, and the rest were Parisians. And when the moon landing occurred, when they walked on the moon, and everyone cheered, and then they heard me being an American, they like all hugged me and congratulated me personally for the moon landing and the moonwalk. And it opened up something, a frequency that was actually beautiful for the planetary frequency. But this one was a little odd, so we'll have to see how this unfolds. It feels like it opened up a crack that let in some heavy duty energies. And we'll have to see how this unfolds. Now, I know that's a little off to the side here, but that's what I was experiencing this week. Well, the thunder's really loud here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just quickly wanted to say, Sarah, I felt off through the whole thing, from the announcement throughout the entire process. And I didn't know why. I had no idea why. I mean, I like you, experienced the first on the moon, but I just couldn't resonate with the emotional aspects and the hype and there was just so much that I don't know what it was. It was off. My experience was off. So I appreciate what you just said. Thank you.
Yeah, it's kind of like a crack in the cosmic egg kind of feeling.
Yeah, and on April Fool's Day, it just had kind of a tongue-in-cheek kind of slap. And it's just, yeah, powerful.
But that's part of the mental part of this. This is at a more frequency level that I'm referring to.
And I hear that. I mean, I'm not just regarding that, but I think it was a whole package, right? It had like the... You know, the setup and the sensitivity of understanding so much more about what lives out there and the consciousness that's out there. You have to believe now, which we never did. We just penetrated space. Now we are violating space. There's a violation there, I think. I mean, I don't know to what extent, but I felt it. And I'm sure the space felt it.
So, yeah, we'll have to see what this opened up.
Yeah, thanks for saying that.
Yeah. Okay. So another thing that I wanted to bring up before we go into our meditation here is this idea of being trained and conditioned to constantly go up and out. And reaching for that higher being, reaching for the higher consciousness, that belief that it's outside. And there's a new understanding coming through now that is very helpful to counteract that. And that is that all that we're reaching for is already in us, and all the intelligences that we're trying to touch are really all with us. They're coming to us. That descent of the light from above that we experience when we ground, open up, allow the earth energies to flow up and fountain out of the crown, and the light that descends, and then the harmony that exists in the dance of the two lovers, Mother Earth and Father Sun. We don't have to reach at all. We're being invited to ease into this and be at ease with it, rather than struggle and effort. And I know you've heard this before, but the frequency to shift into this is very powerful tonight. So I'm revisiting this with a more powerful download. There is just no reason to reach outward at all. Zero. And even though you don't necessarily know the landscape within, start with the unknown and allow the known to show itself little by little. Into the ease. So we have all these ideas about what spiritual growth is and what ascension is and how we're supposed to be. All of that is old paradigm conditioning to disempower us. It's all disempowering to believe that there is some spiritual state to attain. That's what causes us to lose our power and reach outside of ourselves to something that feels unattainable. And again, I know we've visited this several times, but the power of the teaching is coming through much more strongly tonight. And just like we have shifted our sense of the personal love and the universal love and being able to sit in the universal love as if we're sitting in the center of a beautiful heart. And it's not that tingly, ecstatic light. It's a deeper womb that we're sitting in. And we're not used to the womb. We're not used to the feminine fertility of consciousness. And how to be sustained without effort. And the best analogy is the baby inside the womb that is being nourished by the umbilical cord. And it knows exactly what to do. It's not trying to get nourishment unless something's impeding it. And this umbilical cord we have with Mother Earth is very strong. And it gets obscured by the conditioning, by the impulses, by the reflexes. And so each transmission we receive to help strengthen that knowing of ease and the release of spiritual attainment, of being spiritual, of acting spiritual. Is a liberating shift. And that's what this universal heart, the non-personal heart, is about. And we're here in a human body. And this body is of Mother Earth. We are made of Mother Earth. And we came here for this experience, period. We came here for the experience of being of the Earth. And through all the organic growth, more and more of the multidimensional consciousness of Mother Earth becomes revealed. So it's not just going through the cycles a plant or a tree goes through. It's going through a consciousness experience. That's embedded in a greater cosmic consciousness. It's a whole different way of being. And we're still at the baby stage of where we're still imposing the old conditioning on the new. So right now we're kind of cracking open that old conditioning and allowing the unknown to feel fresh and free of imposition. And, you know, the title of the next class is, I think, The Power of the Ceremonial Community. We can't do this without ceremony. This group has really evolved to the point where you're very consciously engaging in ceremony. And I hope you're finding how supportive that is, and that you're not overlaying, you know, the fear of becoming dependent, or you can't do this by yourself. We need the extra magical, dimensional support that's created by a very conscious ceremonial community. There we go. See, there's still that rugged individualism that wants to hang on and find everything that's wrong with being in a ceremonial community. That's very different. It's very alive. It's not personal. Just letting the energies come in now.